Blog Talk Radio. Everyone, and welcome to another edition of Let's Talk Forward. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another very interesting show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click, tag, and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And tonight, we will speak with Adrian Divine Smith, who is no stranger to Let's Talk Fort Worth, about his run to be the next mayor of Fort Worth. We want to know all about his platform, his plans if elected, his hopes for the city, and what changes he would make day one if elected. That's it. Ladies and gentlemen, I will introduce to some and present to others none other than my friend, Adrian Divine Smith, the next mayor of Fort Worth, Texas. I like the way that sounds. Good evening, Adrian. How are you?
Hey, Cherry, good evening to you. And what you just stated in your opening, I could say the same thing about you, my friend, Carrie.
Wow. Well, thank you. You know, y'all listen, Adrian is my friend, but I didn't know he was running for mayor until everybody else was found out. And so, Adrian, it was such a shock, to be honest with you, when we found out that you were running, because up until the last minute, y'all, I thought he was going to be in one of these city council races. But it is what it is. And I guess he knew I was like a refrigerator, no refrigerator. I was going to tell somebody. So he kept a secret until he announced it to the world, and I'm glad he did. But, Adrian, you know, running for mayor is a pretty serious – okay, somebody's got some noise. Running for mayor is a pretty serious job. So where and what happened to transition you from running for city council to running for mayor?
Okay, Carrie, so let's, you know, let's take it back to what's it? When I ran for city council back in 2021, you know, like I try to tell people what I'm doing, it didn't just happen overnight. You know, I feel like I've been, my life has been bringing me up into this point, you know, and my desire for politics and just being involved is just being embedded in me. But truly my desire for helping people and just trying to make a difference, that's just been a greater desire, you know. So back in 2021, you know, it was more or less trying to get an understanding of the process. I got in it, you know. We know the field was full in all races, you know. That was historic. I think that was a historic moment for Fort Worth. So I got in, tried to get an understanding of everything. And I didn't want to leave that year with the thought of, man, if I didn't put my candidacy in, I didn't want to be left with that, man, I should have, could have, would, and I didn't. So I was able to put my candidacy in, get an understanding of the process. Of course, we was under the pandemic, still going through the pandemic, you know, lockdown, so we had minimum things we could do. So a lot of the things were just done on, you know, platforms. You know, a lot of discussions was on platforms. So didn't have no personal like forms or this, that, or the other with the people. So then I basically learned the process, got an understanding of it, and I said, okay, then it didn't pan out, didn't make the didn't win that year. So I said, okay, what are you going to do going forward? The main thing was to stay involved. That was the main thing. Stay involved. Keep my presence seen and keep my voice heard, and then just basically get involved and get a more understanding of this political process that we find ourselves under, which is, you know, the city, you know, Fort Worth City Council. So
right.
More or less.
Let me back up, y'all. So listen, I guess I know Adrian so well. I'm assuming everybody else knows Adrian. Adrian, let's back up and tell people who you are. For those who may not know who Adrian Divine Smith is, tell them who you are.
Okay. Hey, Adrian Divine Smith. I am native to everything that's Fort Worth. You know, John Peter Smith Hospital, where my mother birthed me. You know, Fort ISD is where I got my education, you know. I was able to do, you know, work for various companies throughout the city, this, that, or the other, you know. Had my military experience. I had initially enlisted in the, did some time in the Navy Reserve. That didn't pan out. Then I transitioned maybe two or three later. I think it was maybe 3 years later. Enlisted in the Army National Guard, Texas National Guard. So that more or less gave me the I was able to did a tour of duty with them. You know, we did a tour of duty back in 08-09 back over in Iraq during Operation Iraqi Freedom. So more or less my life has been here, you know. Say I have two brothers. I'm the middle son of two brothers. Now one of my brothers, he's deceased. He passed on in 2017. But I'm the middle boy of three. It was just three of us, three boys. I like to tell people, I'm a product of every part of town in Fort Worth, from Como, you know, that's my daddy's people from. So was born in Como, was brought up in Como as a child, moved to South Fort Worth, did some growing up there, you know, did some growing up there in South Fort Worth, right over in the same area. Used to stay on Richmond Street, then we moved to New York. New York is right off of, it's right off of Allen. New York is right off of Allen. So, and then we moved from the south side to the east side, which I would call, the community is called Eastwood. So that's where I did a lot of my growing up from early teen up to adulthood. We did a lot of growing up over there. So I know every part of town except the north side. I don't know too much about the north side. You know, traveled through it. You know, have worked on the north side, but don't know too much about it as far as, you know, how things move about over there. But I know it's a great community. It's a great community of people.
So you're familiar with the city pretty much. So, you know, the thing is, a lot of people will say, why mayor? Did you see some things going on in the city that you thought you could, you know, address if elected? Or what made you jump in the race and say, I can do this? I would make a good mayor. Where did that come from?
It just came from more of a desire. It's just I've never been one to wait on the next person. I've always felt like I had a get a spirit in me, you know, like to lead out. You know what I'm saying? I've always been one to speak what's, you know. And like I say, you can't say everything that's on your mind. But I've never been one to shy away from a challenge or a question or, you know, anything that can, I feel like, can challenge me as an individual to make me better. That's what I've always been about. Now, as far as this mayorship, I just observe, you know, just spending my time at this council, you know, getting involved, and I just realized it's the way things, how they operate, how our current council and mayor operate amongst themselves. I feel like it's some disconnect, and I feel like the disconnect started to happen with us, the people. That's more or less why I say, okay, we have a disconnect, and it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be a line drawn between those who we elected, because we all voted. You know, we vote for our council, and then we vote for the mayor, the person we desire to be mayor. Regardless of who wins, we vote, right? So there's been a big disconnect, and you know, everything starts with the mayor. Whether there's successes or failures, of course, it counts as a whole as decision making, but it's more reflected on the leader. And I feel like our current leader has allowed this divisiveness that's to happen between city officials and communities. You know, and I think more or less. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm telling Christopher his line was open. No, go ahead and finish.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's more or less just and I try not to – I have to learn what I can and can't do going, you know, just going down there, because it is a process. You know, you got some do's and don'ts. So I have to learn how to – you know what, Carrie, I tell people – I say it's not personal. When I say it's not personal, it's not to a point to where I want to see something – bad happens to somebody on the council. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking bad towards these people, this, that, or the other. But it's personal to a point where I want to see change. And I feel like we need change. I feel like this current council, and I'm got the name, go drop name, because everybody, you know, if the shoe fits, word. I feel like they had an opportunity to, considering we came from a historic year of an election, I feel like they had an opportunity to push us into a new era, and they didn't. It's like they've been missing some steps, you know? Or it's like they've taken, you know what? It's like they've taken it for granted. And again, it goes right back to the mayor. I think people follow the lead of the leader. You know what I'm saying? People follow the lead of the leader.
I agree. I think what we saw and again, as Adrian said, if the shoe fit, wear it. We took a gamble, you know, because the council and mayor before, the current council and mayor, were an older group of people. you know, the average age was somewhere probably in the 40-ish, 50-ish and beyond. And I think it was really more like 50, closer to 50 and beyond. And so it was a more mature group. But then at some point we gambled and we said, you know what, we're going to gamble on a much younger council and mayor, which is what we have now. And yet we've seen a lot of immaturity in the way that things have been handled and the way that the people have been treated. And so do you agree that you've seen some of that? And if so, how would you change that if elected?
First and foremost, we have to bring integrity back to the council mm-hmm. chambers. You know, that's like a, you know, think about it. It's got like a sacred place. You know, it's like a place that you feel like you can come and you should be able to come and champion for anything that you feel you need to champion for, you know, especially if it's for the betterment of people in your community, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like mm-hmm. we have to bring back the consideration aspect. We it's like they've disconnected themselves from everyday people as if they weren't on the side where we are, you know what I'm saying? The ones like who are probably, you know, currently running or the ones who are coming to council chambers or calling in, you know, with their various concerns and grievances or this, that, or the other. It's like they've forgotten that, like, it's like they feel like they came from a different planet and y'all all live here. Y'all all live in Fort Worth. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I would bring back the first and foremost the respect aspect, because we know what's missing. Yeah. Why make changes? Like I said, if it's not broke, why? Mm-hmm. Why start changing things? But we know why things start changing, because they couldn't deal with certain individuals coming down there, hold, trying to champion accountability. That's more or less what we've been doing. We've been championing for accountability. You know what I'm saying? So
not just accountability and transparency.
Yes, ma'am.
Everything seems to be, when you go to the city now, especially on most FOIA requests, you know, they'll challenge it and take it to the attorney general. And in most cases, they try not to even reveal in most cases seem almost basic. And so, though, you know, in my opinion, for those people who are not thinking that this election is important, this election is like vote or die important. Because I think what needs to be clear is that without a vision, the people perish. We don't see the vision from the current leadership. We don't see any transparency. We don't see a place in which you can go to you know, complain if you have issues within the city. Nobody seems to care. You know, you can go to city council and literally they mock the people that are speaking. They talk while you're talking or get up and walk off or you play with their phones. So like you said, there's a disconnect and a disrespect that it seems with the current council, and that definitely is something everybody needs to pay attention to. I think everybody needs to watch current council meetings to just see for themselves that something is off. You know, I mean, have you noticed when you're actually present at a lot of those council meetings, do you see those same things that I'm talking about?
Yes, and I think it begins more or less with the I think they have formatted this council to fit their schedules. You know what I'm saying? Now, we had Bessie Price for 10 years, right? And I'm pretty sure she ran council for 10 years the way they were running, you know, regardless of how long it took to get something, however long council was, they went through it, you know, however it was structured. But it's like, The first thing I noticed they did, Carrie, this is the first thing. They changed things to fit their schedules. My thing is this. If you feel like you couldn't do the job, if you feel like this was too much, you didn't have the time, why put yourself up to run. Because why even put yourself in a position? Because what you have done is, with them changes, you have inconvenienced the community trying to satisfy your personal lives.
Right.
So, you know, with the short, you how they do the MNCs now, they don't, they just, see, like you said, this new way of doing things, this new way of doing things, you know what I'm saying? So they fast, mm-hmm. it's like now council is fast track. It's like fast mm-hmm. track. And don't think public, you would think something fast track. Wait till public comment day. Mm-hmm. You in and out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, but the disconnect, the dialogue, you know, we have this dialogue. Mm-hmm. They say, okay, they can't say nothing to us. Regardless of what a person is, it's like you can't answer none of our questions when we're asking you things regarding the MNCs, this, that, or the other, stuff that's policies. I feel like we should have a dialogue on it. But the moment somebody say something to one of them that they take personal, now they can talk. But my thing is the rules say you're not supposed to even say nothing to us. You're not even supposed to interrupt us. That's our moment as, you know, the citizens to say what we need to say without being interrupted, as long as we are within, you know, the parameters that
you mean the format of the meeting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm going to put in some analysis here because, you know, I take a break from dehumanizing these people because, you know, we're really frustrated. You know, I'm just going to say that. And, yes, everything, you know, the condescension and everything like that. But I'll point this out. We have to – and this is what I'm saying about – this is what's refreshing about Adrian's campaign. I'm JPS. I'm freaking – I did my tour in Iraq, Operation OIS, and I think – I don't know what your fob was there, but I was at the green zone on Prosperity, and I think I was in 08. We left in January, February 08, and so you might have been the people that fell in on me. I don't know. I don't know where you were. But anyway, and I don't know the history of mayors, but I'm fairly sure that Fort Worth, that the city council and city – I don't know about how long has the city manager thing been going on over. I don't know when they instituted that. Probably 10. But the point that I'm getting at here is I think we've got a mayor born in Hyco, had nothing to do with Fort Worth. She went to Austin to college. She worked in Austin, right? And she cut her teeth working in the swamp. And – with no consideration, she didn't have any clue about Fort Worth other than what she's getting from the political people down in Austin. Then she comes up here, so that's what got her in, and so then she comes up here, and then she goes to work for Kay Granger. Well, Kay Granger has Kay Granger is a congressional district. That's bigger than Fort Worth. So way bigger and way more generalized. And it's not dealing with the intimate things, you know. She's mostly dealing with business people who are trying to, you know, jiving with it's swamp. It's swamp. It, you know, we know the Washington D.C. She's working for a congressman. That swamp. She came from Austin. That swamp. She came from Hyco. Hey, I'm not even going to get into the details there, but. So we got stop one, stop two, stop three, and then then she comes to work for Betsy Price for, I don't know, a year, 2 years. I don't know how long before she worked with her. But now all of a sudden she's our mayor, okay? And so now sure she was doing – you know, her PR stuff with the people she worked for with Kay Granger and Betsy Price. But that's job. That ain't roots. You know what I mean? There's a difference between roots and heritage and in understanding your community. So the other aspect of that, and I could keep going on, The other aspect of that is we have David Cook. David Cook, born in California. I think he lived, raised up in Illinois, right? And then he went to college in North Carolina, and then he was a city manager, I think, for Raleigh or something, one of the big cities, one of the major cities in North Carolina for 15 years, I think, maybe more, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't know nothing about Fort Worth. And so, okay, Blanc, what you got? You got somebody that don't know the pulse of this, don't know the heartbeat of this city, and you put him in the most powerful, most highest paid position in the whole state of Texas. And that's the result. This is, so now we've got, and I don't know about the other council members. I mean, I don't know if they're legit from here. I know Williams, Jared Williams was raised up here. I've heard that, but I don't know their biographies. But what I don't know about Crane. I don't know if they was raised up around here. Or are these guys who came in business? And this is what we get. This is a big deal here, and this is a big problem that I think the city council is frustrated with, and they don't know how to respond, because ever since I've been watching this and all the history with this council and even prior councils for a long time, what we've got is this priority for attracting and accommodating, and I don't mean to sound xenophobic about somebody who wants to do the right thing for the city, but they need to demonstrate that they put roots down and that they're drinking the water. You know what I mean? With all of us. And but what I've seen here for a long time is the problem. And you know, we talk about it in abstracts with development and this and that, and whatever. Well, the big thing here is, and I know because I'm from here, I grew up here, and you know, the development and the what they used to call urban renewal, and now they retermed it to revitalizing communities, and all that is screening. It's deterministic screening. It's meant to deflect the reality, you know, to change, to play with people's minds. And so, not to get too crazy about that, we had Bluff Street, and I don't know if anybody, you remember Bluff Street, Adrian?
Nope.
It's not there anymore, because that was the first I remember. I've played it out in my mind. This urban renewal in about the mid-1980s, Bluff Street was right off the courthouse, you know, where that courthouse, they started to beautify the courthouse and everything. Well, Bluff Street was run down. It didn't, you know, back in the 50s, it was 40s, 30s, that was the high. It was right on the bluffs of the river and everything. And, you know, even way back then, when all of the homeless people lived down on the riverbanks, you know, that's where the homeless camp was, right there where all of those condos are. So right there when you're on Belknap coming towards the courthouse, mm-hmm. from 35 to the north, that north curb side of Belknap, that was a turn off of that street, and it was Bluff Street, and there was a couple of other streets, and that was a bad neighborhood about the 90s. It just went to hell. They let it rot. And I remember when I was a kid, Rosedale, all of the hospital district, they just let it rot. I mean, they used to, what was that, St. Joseph's or something? There was a couple of hospitals that changed to All Saints or something. I don't know. But anyway, but I remember those. It was neglected for 20, 30 years. And
you
I was in seminary.
You got to turn that into a question. Remember, this is Avery's interview now.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm going to let it off. I'm going to turn it off. But I'm just giving you that thing. We've got these. What I'm saying is the priority is that our city council they don't care about the people. They care about attracting and accommodating development, business, all these things. They want a growth. And they're, you know, and I'll let it go right there. And what we're doing is just like with Bluff Street, what they did for 20 years before they started revitalizing is, and this is my last sentence, is, They ain't taking care of the people who have small business, who are established, existing, the heritage of this city, right? And they're bringing in companies that these guys, these developers, are grifter cronies, and they just travel around to come looking for the best deal to hit some profit, and who falls by the wayside are the people of Fort Worth that's why you have the problem that you have on East Side. That's what one of Bob Willoughby's things is. He's sitting here seeing these people building apartments so they got room to accommodate all these migrants from everywhere, and he's pissed off about it because ain't Nan nobody at city council and in the city administration listening to the people, caring about the people, and taking care of the needs of the people.
I agree. You know, one thing I'll say, it feels like, and I don't know if anybody feels what I feel, but it feels like the city is in shambles. It feels like, you know how stuff is kind of like on a slow decline, but you see you're not going uphill, you're going downhill, and it may be slow, but it's happening. And I think it almost feels like either everybody's got blinders on and nobody else can see it or something. But if you are up there and spending billions of dollars a week with no regard to the fact that we're in a recession and you're raising property taxes, I mean, does anybody else besides me realize or feel that this particular council does not have their pulse attached to the pulse of the people? Do you feel that, Adrian? Like they don't feel the community and the needs of the community like they should.
One of the biggest disrespects I feel to us, the people of Fort Worth community, is how, let's talk about the things that they vote on, right? The MNC, the zone. I'm telling you, we got issues we have departmental issues as well, because I think a lot of these departments encourage a lot of this behavior. So what I see, and it's so disgusting to see developers come down there. It's no kind of dialogue about, see, they give us this false appearance that they've already went over this information, discussed it, blah, 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 so they just come out here to vote, you know, go do the dog and pony show. They're not. I'm sorry. Somebody tell me you taking this home. You taking your home. You taking these agendas home, these items home, going over line by line, going through them, reading them, understanding what you're voting on. I don't think they're doing it. I see developers come down here. This is exactly what they do. They'll come down there. Oh, such, such, and MNC, blah, blah, blah. No opposition. No. Soon as they say no opposition, they push it through. And then what developers do, they get up. It can be – the council chamber can be full. You think people there for the city council. You think people there to address the council. Most of them are developers and business interests. They get – once they get what they want, guess what they do? They get up. They say such if there's opposition. So you mean to tell me the community has – it needs one person from the community has – you need some opposition for them for you not to – oh, I think they need opposition to put it on the dog and pony to make it seem like, oh, well, somebody doesn't want this, so let's give them consideration. But developers, what they do, once they realize there ain't no opposition, they head out. They got what they want. And then we just go on and just go on one after the other, steady, steady. Just they'll read off something. It's something got to do with some money, them giving somebody some money. Giving away the taxpayers' money to another developer, or giving them some type of incentive to develop, and then we don't have no opposition. Nope. Okay. Can we get a vote? Got a second. Boom.
And let me say this.
Go ahead.
I agree, and I think the city has what I call plants, and those are people who they use, just like he said, to come down to city council meetings to make their point, so that they don't have to make them. So they sit on the dais and pretend to be good, you know, good council people who have no dirt under their fingernails, and they'll have people like Dan Hawes, with the Central Meadowbrook Neighborhood Association and Cindy Boland to come down there. And there's another name that comes to mind, but I'm not going to call him out tonight. But it's funny, on certain key issues, there are people that come and they always seem to take the side of the council. And I've seen Dan Hawes and Cindy Boland in full effect when they came for me when I complained against the police officer, Michael Chavez, the NPO. And so I know Gina Bivens put those people to do that. And to me, that's like throwing a rock and hiding your hand, you know, or you are too cowardly to say it or do it. So you have your people that you have to come and do that. And I call those low shots, in my opinion, because I'm the type of person, if I say it behind your back, I'll say it to your face, because I try to be of the character that I'm not a gossipy person. I'm not a person who stirs up trouble and does things that are mean-spirited. But I see our council does a lot of mean-spirited things, and they use certain people to carry that out on city council night. Has anybody besides me seen that? Because I've seen it.
Not only have I seen it, Carrie, but we know we have people who have, like you said, not only have you seen it, but you've experienced it, Bob has experienced it, and I'm talking about how the council is weaponized themselves against the citizens. Like you say, they either do it directly or indirectly, and nobody should use their position to because that's what you know is personal. So you mean to tell me that I've said something that just like you ain't never heard? You mean to tell me that's the worst thing you've heard somebody say to you? Or, you know, it's like, and then they use their positions to it's like it's trying to, they're trying to stifle people. They're trying to scare people, you know. And if that doesn't work, the weaponization, what they'll do is they start changing the rules. That's where the rule change comes in, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Since we don't want to put our hand, we don't want to show people that we're mad at this person or we're going to come at this person. So let's just change the rules to kind of see what how this person going to adjust to it. I'm going to say this, Carrie. As mayor, one thing I won't do is the council will not be used as a place to will not be weaponized against the citizens. And we're going to, guess what we're going to have? We're going to have open dialogue. If a person comes down to their dais and has a question about something, it's not going to be, they're not going to be pushed off to no staff members, such, give this person, give them a, no. If a person has a question, we're going to take whatever time we need to get their question answered. If they have a question regarding anything we're doing, it shouldn't be, we can't say nothing to you. So what are we doing? Why did we elect y'all? We need to know what's going on. I think more or less what it says, Carrie, if they don't have to answer our question, that just keeps them from not, you know, having to show what they don't know. So if they don't have to answer the question, that means that just shows you what they don't know about the job they're doing. So,
let me say it real quick. I think my opinion, I respect anyone who I ask a question to and they say, I don't know, but I will find out. I respect
that. True.
I don't expect anybody to know everything, but at least you are acknowledging that you have within your grasp the ability to find out the information or the answer, and you get back with me and you give me my answer. I think that's what we don't see. When they don't know, they pretend. You know, they just blow you off and act like either the question is stupid or they pretend they know something that they don't know. And I think either way we lose. Either way we lose. And I think we need people who won't do that.
We need people who are going to be human, realize that they're human, you know, not be afraid of failure, you know, because if we elected you, then that means we're giving you an opportunity to serve us. And then guess what? I can't worry about down the line. If you elect me, I can't worry about, the next 2 years. No, I got to focus on now. What can I do to make a difference now? You know what I'm saying? Because I won't be promised. I'm not promised tomorrow, let alone 2 years. You know what I'm saying? It's like, so like you say, Carrie, I could deal with that. But at least let the people know that you're with them. It's this silent Bob and this silent treatment. That's it gets us nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, silence gets us nowhere. But like you say, help us to get the information because people want to know. Mm-hmm. And then not only this case, we are dealing with people's livelihoods. Every decision that council make is going to have an effect on people's livelihoods, whether good or for the bad, you know. So I want to be able to make decisions that's going to have an effect on people's livelihoods for the good, not the bad. And if some bad come, we got to deal with it. We can't do it like that no more. But while I'm in that position, we got to make wise, precise, consistent, transparent decisions.
I agree. Christopher, I cut you off. You were saying what?
Yeah, real quick. And I think we're going to all agree about this, but I've really been looking analytically at the shift in persona and character and engagement of city council between that conference work session and what they do in the city council chambers where the people. I think that the work session, you can get invited in there, but they don't accommodate. You know, there's no audience participation. There's no nothing going on like that in there. That's where all of this development, and that's where, and those city councilmen, they sit up there, and that's where Neil Noakes does his that's where Neil Noakes gets up there and gets to sing his script, and they're asking questions, and they're conferencing and everything. But it's like what you were saying, that they pick these people to come up in that work session, and that's where the decisions are made. That's where they're actually got. That's where they got their thinking hats on. That's where they're hashing things out. You can see how much more they're way more. They got their books open and everything like that. When they come into that city council chambers, and they know that they got freaking audience participation sign up, they come in there and they're cold. They're just sitting in there. It's like mannequins. They ain't trying to be engaged.
You know,
they ain't trying to listen.
They're waiting for you to shut up so they can get to the vote. That's really what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll be talking. You know, you've rehearsed your 3 minutes, and you're trying to give it all you got and stay on point and not go over the 3 minutes, and they cannot wait for you to shut up so they can get
Thank
to the
you.
Vote that they've all agreed on
yeah.
before they come out there.
Right.
Kerry, let me show you when I talk, so people can know when I say about rule change. Now, remember when they limited us, right? They limited us. First, they limited us. They made a rule change. And the late Thomas Tolan Kosse, he was. I was like, man, he was thinking like I was thinking, but he implemented it. When Thomas said, okay, since they're going to limit us, what did Thomas do? Thomas signed up for as many. He signed up. I remember when they changed the rule, they're next. Okay, we're going to fix them. He signed up for many MMCs, any he can talk on. So what they do after that? Then they limited it to, that's when, okay, we can't let you speak on everything. We can't let you speak on everything. So you're limited to 3 minutes. Consent items or non-consent items. Consent items, you go, if it's four consent items, you got to speak on all four within 3 minutes. If it's three non-consent items, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You see how fast they changed it? Because you know what? One thing Thomas did, and thank you, Thomas, for your leadership and just we rocking with Thomas. What Thomas did, he challenged their intelligence. Now he went down there to make them into fools. Thomas just he presented what he knew. He presented it to them. They get flustered. He come up one after the other. They kept getting flustered. It makes them look. Okay, dang. So they're not. They don't know. They don't. They didn't know anything. And Thomas showed. He showed.
Let's be clear on what we're talking about for those people who may not be able to follow what Adrian's talking about. When they changed that rule about reading the description of the agenda item. So before this current council, they would give you the MNC number, and then they would give you the description of what the vote was about, and then they would take the vote. or if there were speakers, they would let the speaker speak, and then they would take the vote. So that's what Adrian is addressing. And since we're there, Adrian, would you reverse that decision on how that's done and go back to the way it was before this current council was elected?
Carrie, yes. Yes, and this is why I will reverse it, because think about this, Carrie. See, when they did that, they forgot about the people who can't be there. They forgot about our people who deal with disability. People with disabilities, some people can't see, but they can hear. So they trying to hear for what it is, what's going on. You know, they might call in, or they might be in our presence. They're trying to hear. They got to hear things verbatim. People who could see. You know, put it like this. Yes, I'll reverse, because I feel like we have taken some people away from the process of accountability and transparency. So yes, I would change it. And again, our livelihoods, our lifestyle shouldn't be more important than the people who put us in position. So I would reverse it, put it back the way it was, so people can get an understanding for what it is we're doing and why we're doing it. You know, and I think another thing, Carrie, the way it is now, it absorbs them from, because like I say, it looked because they vote, some people, the optics, because they vote on it, we think they understand what they're voting on. But more or less, like I was taught by Miss Gina Bivens, she even said with her own words, you got to get deep into, it's not just the surface of what you're reading, you got to go into the MMC, you got to read the language in it. And that's how I was able to get an understanding of a lot of more stuff, because you got to, but they don't explain it to people, you know? You just see something on the surface.
Let me piggyback off that. The thing is, before anybody goes to the polls, I advise you to please start paying attention to city council meetings Tuesday nights at 6 o'clock. And then once a month, they're at 10 o'clock a.m. But for those meetings that are at 6 o'clock that people can pay attention to, and even if you can catch the ones at 10, one thing you'll notice is that from time to time, the council members are lost on what vote they're actually voting on. And we saw that on CP 326 when they was y'all, you have to go back and watch it. It was hysterical. But you had them up on the dais fighting about the fact that they wanted to change it from two people being able to bring a proposal to the dais to making it three people. And then with the new districts are added, it's going to be four people are going to be required to bring a proposal to the dais. And so I think what I saw in that CP 326 was exactly what Adrian just said. They told us in that vote, if you pay attention to the dialogue back and forth, they basically were talking about the fact that they clearly didn't understand how much money was involved, that basically it was a whole bunch of language that they didn't understand, so they were very vague, the language in the proposal was very vague, and some other things that they had, you know, I think they said fiscal responsibility or openness or something to that effect, and a bunch of terminology I wish I had in front of me right now. But in essence, they were saying they took a vote on an issue that they clearly all didn't know, but they voted unanimously for it. But after they voted, they had buyer's remorse, and then they changed through CP 326, they changed the rules so that that would never happen again, which in essence was them letting us know that we're not reading those books every week that y'all see us with and we have them open in the work session. We're not actually reading them. So we're actually going off the word, I guess, of other council people when they say, yeah, vote for this, vote for that, because that's all it could be. I mean, otherwise, explain to us how y'all are saying that y'all let a vote get by y'all. This is a multi-million-dollar deal, and y'all didn't fully understand. And so I think that was to me clear, as it needs to be, that obviously they're not paying attention all the time when they're voting. They're either just taking the word of somebody else or they're just faking it. And I hope if you are elected, Adrian, that's something that you make sure happens in the future, that these people are paying attention and do understand what they're voting on in the discussion in the work session and before they vote for it on the dais. If that all makes sense, y'all.
Carrie, I told you last week, there's enough time to go over that material because, like you say, yeah. If we have counsel on Tuesday, other than engagements that they might be doing throughout the week, I'm pretty sure it's not all day engagement or commitments. They have Wednesday, they have Thursday. Okay, so we say we get rid of a council meeting, right? They already got the council, they already got the schedule set up. So that means everything that's coming for the next council, that information is already to start, dissecting. Once council meeting ends on Tuesday, then I should be come Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Wow.
I know I got a life, but
These
days are the days I need to start getting into my homework, which I call homework, getting ready for the next council meeting, because y'all already got the schedule. So if y'all already got the council schedule already formatted for the year, that means the information or whatever y'all going to be voting on is already ready to – it's only so much y'all could do per council meeting. So that lets you know the information is already there. That's a slap in the face to the community, the citizens, the people who put them in there, and that's a slap in the face to the staff members who work. I'm pretty sure they're the ones working vigorously to get that information prepared and printed and formatted so they can have it to present to the council. So they can't – see, that's what I'm saying. No, we got to do our due diligence. You know what I'm saying? And if more pay or make you do your job better, then guess what? That ship is already sailed, baby. That ship is already sailed.
That is exactly where I was going to go. These are the same people that wanted a $50,000 and a $70,000 raise, y'all. After 8 months of work, they wanted $50,000 to $70,000 raises, and they're showing us that they're not even reading the package that's telling them about what business is going to be going on in the city that week that they're going to be voting on. Yeah. So, y'all pay attention. I just wish I could take everybody's head and just put it up to the TV as you're doing these city council meetings and say, pay attention, watch this, watch that. Because I think a lot of what's going on, I think most people are not engaged and most people are not aware of what's going on because, as a matter of fact, I told a neighbor who, is a former professor and very smart man. And I said the other day, I said, who are you going to vote for this and who are you going to, and they was like, I haven't decided that, this, that, and the other. And then I said, are you watching the city council meetings? You can learn a lot. And he goes, oh, no, Gary. Oh, no, no, no. I don't do that. I don't want my blood pressure to get up. What?
Yeah.
So, he has decided that he is not going to engage because he feels like watching them raises his blood pressure. And I know he ain't lying because it raises mine. So that's something that should shift. I think when we watch city council meetings, it should be business. It should be city business conducted in a professional way. And I think that's something that's lacking. For whatever reason, things kind of dropped off when Betsy Price left. The professionalism kind of left the dais. And that's unfortunate. Jungus Jordan, Shingleton, they were all very professional. I mean, Kelly Ellen Gray was professional. Sometimes people accuse Kelly of looking at her phone, but besides that, Kelly was always professional. And so I think we don't see that anymore. We missing that. And I think that's what we got to have. We got to vote for that getting back up there because when you're dealing with city business, that's like Adrian just said, millions of dollars, people's livelihood, And so, and y'all listen, let me say something. It's hard to interview Adrian. I know Adrian. And somebody's saying this interview didn't go ziggity poo because we know Adrian. So it's like we talking, y'all. We know him. Chris and I know him. So for us to sit here and act all, dignified and ask Adrian questions like he was somebody we didn't know, that's a little hard to do. So tonight we're just talking to Adrian about what's going on with city business. It's a relaxed atmosphere. But at the same time, we're checking him now. We want to know what he's thinking. But at the same time, it's hard to interview somebody that you know. So if y'all are tuning in and going, what they doing? That ain't no interview. It's because we know Adrian. So what, Christopher?
Oh, hey, Karis, you know what? We gonna plug them because the first one is, listen, tell people, listen, my thing is, as mayor, I want people, I'm going to encourage people's involvement. You voting, say, yeah, I vote, and I get a little sticker. I'm tired. No. It doesn't stop with it. Your vote is your, when you vote, you mean you want to hold us accountable, but you got to hold yourself accountable because you voted for that individual. So it don't just fall on the person you elected. It falls on the person who pushed that button to put that person in there. I want to encourage people's involvement. I don't care. If we got to stay there to 1 a.m., I want people's involvement. This is you all's, this is people's livelihood. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I agree.
And more and more people are becoming homeless. Nobody's talking about that. I see it, though, because I'm out. I see it. More and more people becoming homeless.
You know what? You went there, so we'll segue to the homeless. I did some numbers or looked up some numbers today on the homeless. Basically, we're looking at a homeless problem here in the city with elected officials who really don't seem to have an answer. And I say that because I looked up a article that CBS did, and basically last year about this time, it was April, they said that the number, now imagine this didn't probably increase since then, but they had the number at about 1,200 people that they were saying were homeless in the Fort Worth community. And they said $5 million from the American Rescue Plan Act was going toward that, plus another $15 million the city previously set aside for the 165 unit of housing for the homeless population. So literally, they're saying $20 million and we can't fix it? I don't believe that. I just don't believe you got $20 million and you can't address the homeless population. I just have problems with it. Uh-huh.
And here's another number. Here's another figure that I haven't done the research for, but somebody's – I'm not real good at that. You'd have to get – I mean, if I really work at it. So you got the homeless thing. Well, here's another trend. Here's another graph that we need that I would encourage, the opposition to come up with here, the challengers to come up with here. Show me the graph because you're going to see – we got skyrocketing homeless, unacceptable numbers of homeless. But here's another thing I want to tell you. Let's talk about tenancy. Let's look at the last 10 years and the spike of tenancy. I'm sure it was increasing, but I guarantee you these last 3-4 years with this city council, and then you could also project because you know what developments are coming out. You've got tenancy. Mm-hmm. And what that is that when they do these revitalizations like down in the hospital district or what they're going to do on Meadowbrook and Lancaster, all of these fancy projects. And I'm going to tell you what the mega one is. The mega one is this Panther Island. And everybody's freaking – it's fluff, okay? Mm-hmm. It's a whole lot of money that they're going to develop this land and they're going to do great things. But what that's going to have an impact on is the whole North Side, Riverside community. It's going to be gentrification. It's their property values are going to go up. Then developers are going to come in and they're going to throw some like they do. Mm-hmm. They're going to come in and they're going to throw somebody with a raggedy house. They're going to say, well, here's $30,000 or here's $50,000, $60,000 cash money. Move, and then they're going to knock the house down, and they're going to use it. But where are those people going to go with $60,000? What home? What kind of homestead are you going to buy with $60,000?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Nothing in this city.
They're going to put them in apartments. They're going to put them in tenancy.
Mm-hmm. But see, they said that 20% of the people, now this was last year about the same time, 20% of the people have been on the streets for longer than a year. Now, y'all, they need to talk to some single mothers who are raising kids. I believe I've heard a single mother say, I can take $25 and feed my five kids for a week if I have to, because that means they know how to pull it together. They need to. They know how to do what they got to do to feed their family. You mean we can't take $20 million and fix the homeless problem in Fort Worth? I say something's wrong. Somebody either does not know how to spend money well. That just doesn't make sense to me. You don't have to, in my opinion, have the fanciest building to address the issue. We just need to get these people out of the element. So we're not asking for all the bells and the whistles. These people just want a place that they can put their things and they can lay their heads at night. And they can have some place that they can call home. And I just don't believe that $20 million couldn't have fixed that. So, you decide.
And I want to say this, kids. We say homeless. Let me put another term on it so people, because they can say, well, y'all, Fort Worth been having homeless. What y'all still talking about the homeless? Everybody about to talk about. Okay, so the new homeless. How about that? The new homeless. See, the new homeless. Yeah, we got a homeless. We got people who are homeless, and I think who I think, I don't know, Chris. Maybe you explained it to me. They keep them in that one area. It's like a cycle. They keep them in that one area. They keep them contained to that one area, right east of They keep them right in that area. They keep them right contained to that area, confided to the area.
But that's not true. They're straightened out in Como, remember? I've seen them on Miller and Barry. You know, I've seen them way down Lancaster Path, way down
Path. They're everywhere.
You know,
they're all race, girl.
They're going to the north side, too.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that's more of the concentration of the homeless shelters, you know? But when you go outside of that parameter, then it's just like, okay, you got to figure it out, because a lot of these communities don't have nothing in place to accommodate. So that's why we have the camps, you know, I'm on public transportation. I see more and more people say they saying forget it. We gonna put our tents wherever we can put our tents. We gonna put them. Wow. And they have to. But so the new homeless. I'm talking, you know, people who got priced out. Oh, that's another thing here. Yes, this is another thing on my agenda. These new developments that they're building, these new apartments that they're building, that people that's beyond people's a lot of people's incomes. These older apartment units that are pricing people out of their homes because they're trying to quote unquote compete or say inflation, this, that, or the other. They're gonna have to rein them prices in, because if your apartment units are 20, 30, 50, whatever, if they're older than 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, et cetera, no, your rates have to be at a set value. You can't be pricing people out of their homes, and that's all they can come to. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna have to get now these newer developments. If you let these people come in and develop. Now, I got this from Beck. She say, regardless of what we vote, whatever, she said the developer set the price. So no matter what, if we vote one way or this, that, or the other, we allow them to come in. The developer set the price. So my thing is this, how can we hold the developers accountable for what they're doing? They need to be held to account. If you're going to develop this, what are you going to give us in return? I need to know. You know how they say mixed income. That's what we need. We need more mixed income properties. You know what I'm saying? And not just the ones that's offered through by federal means. You know what I'm saying?
That's real quick a point that I'll say. I think it's been at least 10 years. Okay, I've been in the housing market off and on for the last like 15 years. I moved a couple of times from when I got out of the Army, and I can sit here and tell you that I haven't drove by and saw any new developments for single family home purchases for a price under $200,000, in the 250s. It's always 250 and up, and now you're not getting any single family homes, and the sad thing about that is the interest rates for the last what, 5-6 years have been these people that are wage earners that are making that somebody that makes $50,000, $60,000, right? They could be getting a $180,000, $210,000 home. They would qualify and they could afford it. Their payment would be altogether a mortgage of about $1,200, right? They ain't building no options for that. They're tearing down old houses, forcing people into tenancy that are wage earning, the hardworking people, and then they're building. And when you're in tenancy, here's what happens: you hit a hard time. You hit a hard time. You miss rent a couple of times. They evict you.
There you go.
Well, once you got an eviction on your record, you got to pay. You're marked. You can't get another apartment. And there you go. Now you're homeless.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Hey, y'all, we're going to go to the phone lines. Open up a rent program for those who are renters the other day, and I think the window was from like. And don't quote me, y'all, but it was a small window for like maybe 14 days that they had, let's just say March 15th or March 2nd to maybe March 20th to put in their application. The program was up 2 days, and they said they were out of money. Two days. You see what I'm saying? So literally, y'all, there isn't a lot of options for people once they start getting behind today. You know what I'm saying? So you can end up homeless real quick. All you need is to miss a couple of paychecks today because most mm-hmm. people don't have it. They're just one or two paychecks from being outdoors. And so I think affordable housing is something that this city has got to address because if they don't, you know, if you can't take $20 million and help 1,200, what are we going to do with all, as Adrian called, the new homeless? You know, so we got to mm-hmm. start making better decisions. And when we get these developers in here, we give them all these tax rebates. So basically you're putting them on welfare for 5 years and we're doing them a favor. In exchange, we can't ask them that 30% of these apartments be for low to moderate income people. Sure we can.
Yeah, they can set that. Yeah.
They need to do that. So, y'all, we're going to the phone lines, 682-250. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Good evening. Good evening, everybody. Love these topics.
Thank you.
I'm kind of in agreement with pretty much everybody, but, you know, that's on the city and the county commission, how they set prices. But a lot of those areas are targeted because, you know, we got a flourishing college, which is TCU. Their basketball program is good. Their football program is good. So they are targeting areas where the kids won't be that far away. I knew about this, what they doing about a decade ago. Remember when Gina came out with that almost a decade ago, Carrie? How long has she been out for now talking about affordable housing program?
Mm.
When they started their when they shut down the Eastside Projects.
I do.
Okay,
that
now.
That wasn't 10 years ago. That wasn't 10 years ago.
But the play was in 10 years ago. That's what I'm trying to tell you. When they did the West 7th Street project,
right.
That was a targeted area. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
They knew what they were doing because they do things in 7 to 10 year increments.
That's true.
They started West 7th, then went to that Fairmont district was on that in the Eastside Projects. But anyway, they don't want them kids that far away from the campus. Also, those doctors and lawyers, which is Sid Richardson people, you know what I'm saying, are dictating and control how this thing flow. So therefore, if you price it at a certain price, they ain't got to worry about that ghetto crap being in their facilities.
Wow.
It's a method they call useless eaters. And that's what they're doing. They have ignited this in this country as part of that New World Order stuff. And not only are they doing it here, they're doing it all across America.
Yeah.
So,
I agree.
You know, they saying either you get with it or you're going to be left behind. And they, you know, and really the middle class is left with the bag. And so, you know, you got to pay attention really, really what's going on not per se in the city, in the country, but you do got to have, hold your people who set your taxes with the people that's on that council and your county mm-hmm. commissioner to a certain standard to control that. Because they, cause one thing, mm-hmm. they can say, nah, you can't come here if you're going to set them prices like that. That I do know, because I had a cousin that's city council.
Okay.
Man, may God rest his soul. And, you know, I sat around John Wally Price long enough to know. That's on that mm-hmm. county commissioners and our city council people. Now you can't come here. If you don't, it's just like the same thing, kid. We can drive all four corners forward. Do you see any liquor stores outside of Tanglewood?
No.
Or any other where our lucrative areas?
No.
Why so?
You know what? Because the people in those cities, I mean, those communities don't allow it. They don't even want dollar stores.
That's what I'm saying. But they hold their city council to a standard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. No, we as citizens, we are supposed to control everything in our community that affects us.
Mm. I agree. That's why That's why we voted for Adrian Smith for mayor of Fort Worth. We want some change around here.
I'm glad Malik brought up the point about the county commissions, because one thing I have been doing, I have been watching the new judge, and look here, I don't, like I say, he's still new to the job, I'm still gonna take some time to get to learn, but if I can work with them to push, make everything, you know, equitable, mm-hmm. not just mm-hmm. that's gonna benefit a certain group or a certain class, then I want to do
right.
it. You know what I'm saying? And I think he's kind of shaking things up, but we still got to see what he's doing, though, because we know we got somebody on that county commissioner's court that have a disregard for our community, and he sits in place four. So, and we know who that joker is, but But
Smiley.
I want to see what this new judge is.
Guy
yeah,
Smiley.
I want to see.
I call him Guy. Y'all remember Guy Smiley on the Muppets?
Yeah.
The bodybuilder. Let's just say that, the bodybuilder. You know, since we're talking about him, let's talk about this POA financing. In my opinion, y'all, my humble opinion, any candidate running for city council or mayor taking POA donations, either from the firefighters or from the police officers association, should not be voting on votes associated with either the police department or the firefighters if they're taking donations from those particular organizations. Adrian, do you agree with that?
A lot of things, this council, they recuse themselves from things that's going to, quote unquote, look, you know, the smoke and mirrors. Oh, I got to recuse myself because my business or my name, or my wife's a party, so I got to recuse myself. But when it comes to, I think it needs to be that ground right there. I want to be in a conversation. I want to know what's going on. But like you say, I don't want. Because that's conflict of interest, and you can be compromised like that. If somebody's giving you something or you feel like they're doing something for you, be more favorable to them. So, yes, more or less, yes, I'm in agreement with that. I don't,
Let me ask it this way for anybody that's unclear. Adrian, if I'm a member of the POA and we give you $67,000, when the vote comes up concerning us, is it likely that you're going to vote against the best interest of us, or is it likely, you know, you're going to vote the other way? Because, you know what I'm saying? At some point, it's got to enter in your mind, they gave me $67,000. So don't you think that would affect somebody's decision-making if they were getting that kind of money from an organization that helped finance their campaign?
I think mm-hmm. it would. And I think mm-hmm. if you start there, it'll just start a it'll start a down spiral for other people to do it, you know, like, you know, business interests, you know, this, that, you know, mm-hmm. they get you to, they give you your campaign. They mm-hmm. give you kibbles and bits, but once you mm-hmm. sign up on one thing about these things that they vote in, these are like contracts. Mm-hmm. These are agreements. They just can't go back and change. A lot of these things, they just can't go back and change because then they'll cause about, what, lawsuits, liability. Well, you agreed to this, mm-hmm. but now you're changing it. So I think, yes, I think that you could be compromised like that. I think, no, you can't. I don't think you can be compromised mm-hmm. like that. Yeah. I think it's conflict of interest, you know.
What we were saying about the city manager, and the mayor, that biography that they ain't got roots, they ain't been through the communities here. Well, the same thing goes for the county commissioner, the most powerful position in this
yep.
county.
Yep.
Okay, and he just moved here about 10 years ago, and he moved up mm-hmm. to South Lake, but he's from
wow.
Farmer Branch, out of this county.
Wow. Interesting.
I think he was on city council in Farmers Branch.
Wow.
Which council are you talking about?
O'Hare. I might be
yeah.
wrong about that, but I heard about that. I'm gonna have to check. I'm gonna have to confirm his biography, but he's not. He ain't got nothing to do with the city of his county, but he was from his operation for all of his life in this county was up around South Lake. And we
yeah,
know what that
make,
is.
But he's not the city mayor. He's the county mayor. So that's okay, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but
that.
I'm telling
yeah.
you, it's the same thing. It's swamp.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. So, okay. Adrian, let me ask you this. You know, a couple of years ago, we found out about the $2.7 billion shortfall in the city of Fort Worth's budget. If elected, would you look into that?
Kerry, it's the city. Hold on, not the city. It's the people's. It's the people's money we are dealing with. So we need transparency, Kerry. We want transparency, right? I feel like City Hall should be open. It should be open book. What do we have
yeah.
to hide, right? We're dealing with people's livelihood. This is not one person's livelihood going into this what this called this pot of. You know, these are, come on, yes. City Hall should be an open book. There shouldn't be nothing hidden from the people. If where there's transparency, then there's that. Then if we have transparency, then we can build better trust. Without transparency, there's no trust, you know. So that's where you get enough. That's where all the independent stuff come in. That's why all the independent, the watchdogs and all these, that's why we had those in place because, and we need watchdogs. We need independent people outside of the city to shake the tree so we can see what's falling.
But
what
you know
what
that, Brother Adrian?
Hey.
That's what that
yes,
superintendent
sir.
Of Fort Worth did. There is an independent firm that's going mm-hmm. through Fort Worth ISD like a fine-tooth comb. And she, like you said, that's a good idea. But one thing, it ain't no transparency in Fort Worth. Because you know what? Every time they meet every Tuesday, everything's streamed out. When they have them CCPD meetings, we don't get to see it.
Right.
You know, let's talk about CCPD funding. What are your thoughts on that, Adrian? And is there anything that you would change about that?
One is if you have to let us know what you're going to do with it before you're going to do it. And then you know what? Look here. I know Malik, now I'm pretty sure you can attest to this. Kerry can attest to this. I've never heard anybody, maybe I missed it. I've never heard anybody in Fort Worth say anything about defunding the police. All I've heard mm-hmm. was we need accountability. We want accountability mm-hmm. for what they're doing. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the CCPD fund, look here, it's too much. It's too much.
Mm-hmm.
It's too
mm-hmm.
much.
Mm-hmm.
For what? Because look here, if law enforcement, I say get when I say the basics, and y'all heard me say the basics. If y'all get back to the basics of doing things, some of these
mm-hmm.
issues we're having in these communities, they won't be having.
Mm-hmm.
But y'all taking money to buy, y'all want to get technological now. Y'all want to buy cameras. Y'all want to buy license plate readers. Y'all
yes,
want technology. Y'all want technology to do the job. Of that people should be doing, physically doing, getting out in the communities, making their presence known. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like it's just money, it's allocated for what? And then we don't know, like you say, the people who are getting the CCPD funding, what are they doing with it? I don't hear about any kind of – I don't know of any program. Malik, maybe you can help me, sir. Malik is rooted in some things. You know, he knows some things, you know, ins and outs and some things. But I don't know of any programs.
Excuse me, that was
direct towards me, Chris. Yeah, let me help.
Yo, kill me with that.
brother, I don't think I can see. I'm gonna say, be real short. If Kerry don't know about it, I don't know about it, and everybody on this panel don't know about it. Mm. That means it probably don't exist. And I digress on that one.
Wait,
so real quick, if all you guys get a chance, look at the government code look at the Texas government code or the local government. I think it's the government code. Look at when CCPD was sold. It's a statewide thing. It's a statute thing because it's the sales tax. When it was sold, it was meant to be a community-based program.
Right.
It wasn't meant to be the Fort Worth POA coming asking for money or the police department asking, telling you how to spend that money. They were not supposed – it's supposed to be a board based on the community, and there are all kinds of provisions in there that tell you how it's supposed to do, and they don't follow it. We don't know what –
what it was
no
is that it used to be ran like that, but some community members messed it up because they were doing something other than what they were supposed to be doing. Then the board members took it over. And then that little stipend, you know, it's kind of like they put everything on a hamster wheel. You know what I'm saying? If I give you money in your campaign, you sign up on the CCPD, and we both eat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it works.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
but originally what it was supposed to be, it was supposed to be that you had the board – was supposed to listen to the community, right? And they were supposed to go out and identify things. I say fences. I say streetlights. I say this thing and that thing. It was not meant to give technology to the police to law enforcement. It was meant crime control and prevention. It wasn't meant for law enforcement booster. You know.
Okay, y'all. Go ahead.
Well, real quick, because I remember one CCPD, and I believe it was CCPD funded. It was an initiative. When I grew up, I was going through a program called DARE, Drug Abuse Resistance Education, and I experienced that in I think fourth and fifth grade. And that taught the importance. I was in elementary, and they were telling us about drugs and staying away drugs. We don't have that anymore. You know what I'm saying? We don't have those initiatives, those after school initiatives to keep our kids. You know, so I think like you say, and I thank Malik for that, for what he said, because one thing about me, I'm here to learn. You know what I'm saying?
In their background, somebody's got another device on besides your phone.
I think somebody's probably listening online.
Because that's how you hear the echo.
Yeah, that's somebody listening online. Well, go ahead, Kerry, with your question.
Let me ask you this. There's been several votes on the Diaz that were controversial. That said, are there any that you would want to go back and revisit?
I said the main one that sticks out to me is the Police and Community Advisory Committee. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
The short-term rental, that kind of brought some divisiveness with the communities. You know, they kind of more or less they kind of had a divide between the communities. You know, between the people who wanted it and the people who didn't want it. Let me see. What stands out to you?
I got a good question that I've been asking. Okay.
Let me ask you this one. Okay, I think the CP-326. I really want to go back and visit that, first of all, and understand, like, how that came about, how that conversation came about that. And so I would want to determine a little bit more understanding about, like Chris said, why wasn't that taken into the work session? And then how did it skip the work session and get all the way to the dais without ever clearing the work session? So I would probably want to revisit that as well. And Malik, that noise was isolated to your phone. I think I would want to see that as well. And then what was being spent on Fitzgerald's case? How much money has been allocated on that particular? Are we at 750,000 at this point? Are we a million? How much money is being spent on that man's case?
Big hit with the whatever settlement in the Jefferson thing.
That hasn't come up yet. But yeah,
hasn't come up yet.
Carrie, you had mentioned American Rescue Plan Act, and those if elected. Because, see, this is not a contract with any developer or business entity. That $8.5 million, they just redirected it to renovate Will Rogers. I'm going to snatch it back because that's not money for no – that money's not purposed for renovation. I'm sorry. We're going to scrap that. They got to figure out something else with Will Rogers. They took some federally – mandated money that's for the purpose of helping small businesses, helping people who are struggling with financial means of homelessness, or I mean on the verge of being homeless, this, that, or the other. You know what it was for.
Yeah.
They took $8.5 million and redirected for some renovations for Will Rogers. Will Rogers, you need to tell me Will Rogers been sitting like that for the last 10, 20, 50, 30 years and y'all just now thinking about renovating it, man, get out. Missing with that.
I think, in my opinion, there's a lot of votes that have taken place up there that makes you scratch your head and go, what were they thinking? And so I think you would be smart if you were elected to go back and just look at some of those votes. I mean, especially those since they changed the way that the agenda items are not read, so that you can see exactly what the heck did get voted on, moving forward. You know, seeing that this election should be very tricky because I've seen some of the opponents you have in this particular race, what would you say to someone who was on the fence about who to vote for? What would you tell them their main reason for voting for you today?
You know, Carrie, we always put the onus on the candidate, but I would want to know, my thing is the constituent. What is it you want that's not happening? You know, what do you want that's not happening? Because we know we hear people always campaign. I'm going to give you the script that everybody uses.
Mm-hmm.
Lower taxes, or we're going to lower taxes, homelessness, affordable housing, a better job. You know, we hear that same spiel, but nobody's asking. What did you say, Chris?
Lip service.
Right, lip service. But we never hear anybody asking, what is it you want that hasn't happened? Because I'm pretty sure you might be talking to somebody and say, man, you know what? 5 years ago, I asked for this, and it still ain't happened. See, that's what I want to get to, Carrie. What have people been asking for that hasn't happened? Because they keep getting the same lip service year after every 2 years, and it just the needle just continues to move. You know, it keeps pushing down. But to your question, I would say, I'm gonna let people know that hey, I'm what they say, the open door policy. Mm-hmm. I'm available. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be available. That's the main thing. I'm going to be available. It shouldn't be a point to where I get so busy with this position that I forget about that I'm human, the human side of things. You know, this position shouldn't be more than a human side. You know, I think we gotta humanize. We have to humanize City Hall again. It's like it's lost its, that aspect. It doesn't relate to people. I want us to be able to relate to people. You know what I'm saying? So I want people to know one thing about me, I can relate to you. You know what I'm saying? As an individual, I can relate to you. You know, regardless of your income level, I can relate to you. We can have a conversation. We can agree to disagree. But at the end of the day, I want to try to make, I can't make everybody happy, but I'm going to do my damn best to make sure we all can come to an agreement on something.
You know, Chris,
I'm going to ask you a real quick question. I asked 3 or 4 times on the Larry O'Neill show when I was plugging in on the chat, and I always ask him this question, and most of the people, the first three, there were like 3 people that they took a position that was favorable that I agreed with. The hard question here is, and I'm going to say, if you think it would be a seismic thing, positive change. On day one, I think that whoever becomes mayor, I think that they should consult with the council and come to consensus that it's time for David Cook to go. Do you agree with that?
No, don't make him answer that one. No. No. Don't make him answer. Listen, I'm acting like a campaign manager. Don't make him answer that one. Look at me. Well, I'm acting like a linebacker. Don't make him answer that.
Well, the only one of them that I asked that got kind of shut down was this last one, this Lowen, the Marine dude that's endorsed by the POA. I asked the question, but they didn't discuss it. They were like, that's just that you asked the same question and let's let it pass. But I tell you, if you get rid of David Cook, then everything else, a lot of things are going to come together because the new city manager is going to come in and he's going to want to be in a positive position. And, that's going to mean that he's going to have to assess Neil Noakes. So we can kill 2 birds with 1 stone if we get rid of David Cook.
Wow. See, I'm acting like a linebacker tonight. So, switching gears. If it's elected, the whole vote on the Citizens Review Board, I think that divided the city partially. But I think for the most part, the way I gauge it, more people realized the need for it than didn't. So how would you address that if elected?
Well, for one, Carrie, you got to remind people that I will first remind people that we're not going back on this just because somebody has personal. I let people know I don't have no agenda, no personal vendettas. Again, it's all about Fort Worth. It's all about the people. So first and foremost, I will remind them that we had put together, there was a committee of people, of community people who came together, the Race and Culture Task Force. These were recommendations made by the community, no outsiders. Mm-hmm. Let me remind people, these recommendations were first made by the community, people that look like you, people who you probably don't have lunch with or you don't talk to, this obscene. These are made first and foremost. And then I will remind people, we spent money on a police monitor. Yes, we spent money. She's no longer with us, but she made the same recommendation that it needs to be. There needs to be one. Carrie, don't let me forget about another thing. The 97-page independent, if that wasn't good enough, we had a 97-page independent report that told you everything that was going on with Fort Worth PD, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those 3 things, for one, that to me, that those are the things because they let people know that this wasn't not just the police and community advisory committee was recommended by first the community, then somebody who came in from the outside and did 2 years of work and made the recommendation, and she's moved on, and then it was successful where she came from. She did the same thing where she came from, and it said it was successful. So y'all brought her for a reason. You know, but y'all don't want to acknowledge the fact that we have a problem. Why is it so hard to say that we have issues going on with law enforcement? Why is that such a bad thing to say? That law enforcement they're not getting it right. And then you know what, Carrie, we got to realize this too. And I would hate to, I don't want to revisit this because we shouldn't have to revisit it. You know, because that memory is going to forever be here with us. the unlawful, the you know, the situation that happened with Miss Tatiana Gibson. You know,
murder.
If that doesn't tell you we need a police and community advisory committee, then I mean, what more do the people need? What more do the people need?
I agree.
On the piggyback of everything that you said about Neil and how, you know, they paid her the money, they brought her in here, she had the credentials, and she was sold to us, and then they put her, they handcuffed her hands behind her back, and they made her sit there and made her powerless. Well, there was a precursor for that. You know what it was? It was Joel Fitzgerald. Joel Fitzgerald here, if you look at the crime trends and you look at the community approval of police, the things that was happening in the community, the stats and all of the everything after Halstead left, if you look at the trend, that was the steepest decline in the crime rate in Fort Worth in the last 20 years. It was for the last three years that he was in, you saw that thing dipping. And then there's all kinds of accolades that people in the community were saying that he's returned. He was holding police officers accountable. And then, so when he started holding police officers accountable, guess what happened? The Fort Worth POA tried to take his knees out. That's it. And they spent 5 years doing it.
Okay. Well, let me ask this, because, you know, the whole, in my opinion, CCPD funding structure was supposed to be about creating a bridge between police and community. Right now, that bridge seems to be broken, I mean, if not destroyed right now, and it seems to be a great divide between police and community. Do you have any ideas about, if elected, how you would work to repair that bridge?
Carrie, I think, like you say, I don't have all the answers. But you know what? I want to bring us. I feel like we can get to a point where we need to be. How do we repair that bridge? For one, how do we begin to try to repair that bridge? We put that vote back on the table, and then we're gonna have a newly elected council. We get to gauge everybody. You know what, Carrie? Hold on, Carrie. You know what? Why can't we leave? How about this? A lot of things I say, if it's gonna cause divisiveness between the community and the leadership and the policing, why can't this be a ballot issue?
Well, I agree.
Can this become a ballot? Since the council seems to, I don't want to be a know-it-all, you know, and I don't mean that to disregarding intelligence and all that, but I feel like the council failed us, and we knew what that left side was going to do. We already knew what they was going to do. We already knew what that left side was going to do. So since the council seems to be uncertain about holding law enforcement accountable, you know what I'm saying? Maybe this ignites the community even more to say, okay, we're gonna put it on. You know what? I feel like it was slapping the face to the community. I feel like it's slapping the face to the community because look what the chief is doing now. That's a slap in the face to the community. You mean to tell me you want to come up with something? They just had something on the table. Why couldn't you? You say you about the community. He say he's this, he's that, but you couldn't. If he would have advocated for, you know what? Let's give it a try. I feel we should give it a try. Why didn't he do that? What is he afraid of? So if we can make it a ballot issue, let's make it a ballot issue.
Okay.
And here's a creative idea for you, Adrian. And anybody listening, when you get elected, you get a couple – you're the mayor, and get you a couple of city council members. And even before we have the oversight committee, you have a citizen that comes to the public comments and voice, like that family that Kev Tatum brought up there. You let them, you do your little thing for the public comments, but then after that, you go and you reach out to that family and you say, guess what?
Yeah.
You're going to come with me to the chief. I'm going to escort you in to the police chief's next command staff meeting. He has a weekly meeting with all of his staff, and the Fort Worth POA gets to sit in there. They get to sit in his meetings and advocate. Here's what it is. We ain't got to have, you ain't got to have that. You have access. That's as a city council member, you can sit there and say, I'm going to bring two or three, not all the kids and everything, but I'm going to bring an adult in here, and I'm just going to bring it in there, and it's going to be an elephant in the room, and I'm going to ask the chief if he would like to fucking give this family, answer this family's question. Just
I don't know if that can happen, because I heard that they kicked Bessie Price out of a meeting, didn't they? Or
the
was
police?
That the POA meeting? I'm not sure if it was a POA meeting or a police meeting. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, but one of them.
The POA gets to sit in those meetings.
Oh, okay.
The attorney.
Let me.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Let me ask you this, because we only got a few minutes left in the show. Adrian, in the history of Fort Worth, there has never been a black mayor. How do you think that will affect this election? Do you think the people of Fort Worth are receptive to having a black male mayor in the city?
Carrie, do I think the people receptive? Put it like this, Carrie. Mm-hmm. I would do my damnedest. Like I said, you can't please everybody, but I would do my darnest to put forth the best representation as mayor. Not just because I know they go to see that's gonna write itself, Carrie. You know what I said? People say, mm-hmm. you know, I get caught up on that because you know what? That's gonna mm-hmm. write itself. My thing mm-hmm. is, what can I do mm-hmm. to represent? Do I think people receptive? I say yes, Carrie.
Okay.
Because if I say,
and let me piggyback off that. First of all, if what you're doing ain't working, that part. And you
right.
know it ain't working because you done gave it two full years. That ain't working. So do you continue and give it 4 years and hope it works itself out? Or do you decide that would be equivalent to insanity to continue to ride a horse that looks like it is not going anywhere? Or do you decide to get off that horse and get on to another horse who is offering you hope? That's how I see it. I mean, people,
right.
you know, the thing is, I think so many times people get caught up. I've heard people say, and Bob Willoughby's one of the best, that, you know, if you don't have a whole lot of money in your campaign, you can't win it for it works, da, da, da. And we know the mayor, the current mayor, had $2 million the last time she ran. And so I think if people are looking at, okay, she put a whole bunch of door flyers on my door. Okay, you know, she had a whole bunch of signs out in the yard. But you still got to do that thing that Janet Jackson used to say in her song, what have you done for me lately? When you take
right.
you take away the $2 million and you take away all the signs in the yard and all the campaign flyers that may come up to your house, you still got to go by man's actions. And so that said, what would you say is your greatest strength going into this election?
My greatest strength, Carrie, no fear.
Oh, wow.
No fear.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm going to say this, Carrie. The mayorship, is it important? Yes, it's important. Do we need new leadership? Yes, we do. But what I said, if I would do nothing else, these, you know, I talk with you about these forums that's coming up. If I don't do nothing
yeah.
else at these forums that's coming up, I'm going to get people involved. I'm going to encourage people.
Mm.
I'm going to remind people. This what y'all doing? This is nothing. Y'all, we up here having a conversation, discussing things with y'all. Y'all asking us questions. But listen, if you all are not getting involved, then guess what? Things are going to be the same. You all can give all the money you want to give. to a person's mm-hmm. campaign, right? But at the end mm-hmm. of the day, your vote is what's going to get them in. See, you can give $2 million to this person, and then the person mm-hmm. who didn't raise $2 million get in. You just. I want your vote more than I want your money. Yeah, your money helps to get a person's name out there. Your money helps to get a person's likeness out there. People, that's where the money come in, the money aspect of it. But more than anything, mm-hmm. I want people involved, Kerry. That city council chamber, I'm tired of it. It empties out. They go to the, like I say, they go to their little, what you call those, acknowledgments, this and that, the other, blah, blah, blah. Council chambers clear that our council chambers still shouldn't be like this. And then considering, Kerry, mm-hmm. look here, we're trying to go to a newer, bigger facility. We mm-hmm. can't have the same old. We can't have what we have going on now going on over there. So mm-hmm. that's where I am, Kerry. My biggest strength, you said, what is no fear, no fear. Mm-hmm. I'm not fearing what like what King. I'm not fearing any man. I'm not fearing anything going forward. I'm going to do myself to present myself to the best of my ability. I'm going to be myself. I'm not going to be. I don't have no relationships with nobody in the city. I'm not tied mm-hmm. to anybody. If anything, I'm one with the people. You know what I'm saying? That's mm-hmm. what I feel like. I'm one with the people. I'm one with the people. So
you know, one thing about politics, you know, at some point the gloves come off. You know, and the real fighting begins. That said, what would you say the current mayor's biggest mistakes have been in her term in office?
Her biggest mistake?
Mm-hmm.
She didn't want the position. She didn't want the position to begin with. I'm gonna say that was her mm-hmm. biggest mistake. She took on a position she didn't even want. But we know why they put her in there. That's honest, be real.
Really? So,
that's
a surprise answer. So you really don't feel like she was
she
in it because her heart is for the people and for the city. You don't feel that?
No, I don't feel it. I feel like, and I'm on record saying, and I've said, they put her in there because of Deborah Peoples. Deborah, listen, hands down. And anybody you can't fact check me because it's coming from my heart. So if you have to dig into my heart and you have to figure out how did he come up with it. No, Deborah Peoples, that was hers to win. That first election she won, okay, she lost against Betsy Price. Boom, Betsy Price won running. Well, Deborah said, okay, boom, I'm running again. Uh oh, she was the strongest. She damn near, you know what I'm saying, took Betsy out. What they do?
Mm-hmm.
Because you look at the numbers. Look at the numbers, Kerry. Mm-hmm. Look at the numbers. Mm-hmm. They had to put – what did they sell people – what did they sell us on when it came to Maddie? This is the thing they sold us on. Nobody know nothing about Maddie Parker. Maddie Parker was just like anybody else up there. We knew who Deborah Peoples was. She was – for one, she got endorsement for Betsy Price. So that mm-hmm. kind of boosted her. But she still wasn't nobody. Oh, she was her chief of staff. So she worked on – so she knows things. Mm-hmm. She knows the job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, Kerry. She didn't want. That's her biggest mistake. She took a position she didn't want. She didn't want that.
You know, to be honest with you, I never thought about it like that. But and I'm being very sincere. I never thought about it like that. But I've never seen this current mayor connect to the community. I've never seen her seem to have a love for the people. It's almost as though when you see her, she seems detached. In terms of someone who's approachable or has an open door policy, and I'm just being honest, y'all. And so, because you know the fact when you see a mayor laughing at people who are coming down there to speak before her about concerns they have about their community or police or whatever, is very like disheartening. Like, what the is going on? And so, I never thought about it like he just said it, but maybe that's what it is. And so, I think. One thing I do believe, if elected, you would go in, you know, with your heart on your sleeve, trying to help everybody you could. I do believe that. I believe you would go in, you know, thankful for the position, you know, humble, you know, by, you know, people voting for you. And then I think you would give it your best effort. I do believe that, you know, mm-hmm. which is something we haven't seen already.
because right, because people don't realize. This is what I tell people. What makes you want to service? It's just in my heart. Mm-hmm. It's just service. I tell people, and anybody that knows me, they can tell you, I've been helping people. Man, I love helping people. And it's just, and it's nothing that I did. I give all that credit to God, the Most High. I don't take no credit for it. Everything I do because He allows me to do. He empowers me to do. You know what I'm saying? I love helping people. I love to see, you know, it ain't always, sometimes I don't have the finance. Sometimes people just need somebody to talk to, listen to. Sometimes somebody just needs some of your time. You know what I'm saying? That's me. I have a heart of a servant. I have a heart in the servant. And look, you don't hear me. Y'all hear me talking. Y'all don't hear me making a difference between who the have and the have not. I'm trying to bring us all. I'm trying to bring us all to one. But you know what? I am going to put a lot of emphasis on the have nots. Why? Because the haves already got it. So yeah, I'm going to be your champion for the whole city. But I got the champion. If one is suffering, we all are suffering. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to fix everything, but I feel like if one is suffering, we all are suffering. The same way I feel about one voice coming down in opposition or something. I've seen a person come down to one voice. Okay, we got opposition. This is your opposition right here. I feel like one voice is desperate. No, it's a continuation. We got one. No, that's just one person. No, this person is in opposition to this. Let's do a continuation. We need this person. This is a concern to this person. It shouldn't take 10, 20. See, the dog and pony show. When they get 30 or 40 people down there, then we gotta continue this. That one person is just like 10 people to me. You know what I'm saying? So I have a heart of a servant, Carrie. That's all I don't know. I don't know nothing else but to want to just. And I'm not just. I want people. I'm not just doing this just to do it. This is really in me. Listen, Carrie. You said speak it. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I'm the mayor. I become mayor. I don't want to say if I don't, I become mayor. Day one, I'm letting people know I'm humble. Thank you. Thank you all. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your support. Now hold me accountable. Hold us accountable. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm going to hold myself accountable. I'm going to get in there. I'm going to learn everything I need to learn. And this you remember C Star Telegram? They think I forgot. I ain't forgot Star Telegram. I got the paper Star Telegram. Y'all wrote me off as vague. He talking about business. Says yeah, because I'm tired of them voting one. I'm tired. No matter what we say, they vote one way. I'm tired of that. You mean to tell me nobody? You mean to tell me y'all just giving out? Y'all just giving people's livelihoods away for what? Listen, the pay is okay. I will accept the pay. I ain't thinking about the pay. You know what I'm saying? I will accept it gladly. I just want to do the job for the people.
You're a
gladiator. If elected, what do you hope to accomplish in your first term?
First term, Carrie. First term. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is not a, let people know, for the record, this is not a campaign of promises. This is a campaign of purpose, perspective, and possibilities. First term, the five things that just stand out to me the most. One, we're gonna get us to a lower property tax rate in accordance with what our commissioner's proposing and with what the state's proposing. Something that's gonna be doable. Something that's gonna make people say, okay, we got the property tax rate lower. Something to where we don't have to go back and revisit and say, oh, we gotta raise it. You know, get us to a lower property tax rate. First term, police and community advisory committee. We gotta get that back. We gotta get that back. Because nobody knows community better than the community. Nobody knows law enforcement better than law enforcement. You bring those two entities together, now we have an understanding. So whatever you need, we got you over here. Whatever y'all need, we got y'all over here. And I've involved myself in this, Carrie. This is one thing. I want the babies. I want people to know Mayor Aiden ain't forgot about the babies. Childhood literacy. Childhood literacy and education. Listen, we have. Our babies are suffering because they cannot read. If you cannot read, you can't comprehend. If you can't comprehend, you can't understand. That's why you can't do nothing in life. You know what I'm saying? So childhood literacy and education, strengthening that, getting our babies to a reading level that they need to be at so they can build the confidence they need to move on in life. And not only just childhood literacy, we got some adults who need it, you know? So it's some of their parents who need it to improve their literacy, you know, to help their lives become, you know, be more better. So spending priorities, Carrie. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. The people's money.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no. We're gonna have to spend the priorities with precise, consistent spending. Not just we just throwing money here, throwing money there, throwing money here, and then you know you like I say, because once you go into agreement with these people, these contracts, these agreements, you can't go back on them because those are lawsuits. They can say, okay, we can sue you now because you agreed to do this. So spending priorities. And then the last one will be equitable development with environmental consideration.
Wow.
That thing that's going on over there in the Echo Heights community, it can't be no more. The suffering that the people are dealing with in the Echo Heights community and them surrounding communities with the pollution and the no equitable development, meaning if y'all don't want it over here. They don't want it over there, so guess what? They gonna have to take they gotta take it elsewhere. Because if these people don't want it, if this community doesn't want it over here and we can't put it over here because there's kickback, if it's kickback in one community, it's gonna be kickback in the next community. So guess what? We don't want your business. We don't want your business. So those are five things that just off the top is just ringing in my spirit.
Well, y'all
And apartment complexes and condos are not equitable transactions for the people.
Right.
Y'all listen, I struggle with this show all week. And I told Adrian just a couple of days ago, I said, you know, you're up Friday night. And I still struggle with it half of the day because Adrian is like a little brother to me, and I didn't want to put him out there, and you know, because everybody hangs on your every word when you're campaigning, and I was like, I don't want to put him out there for two whole hours to talk about, you know, who Adrian Devine Smith is, you know, because, again, everybody's hanging on to your every word. But, baby brother, you did good tonight. You really did. I am so proud of you. I felt like you ready. I mean, I really did. I was very proud of you tonight, and I'm gonna say that. Tell people how they can reach out to you and how they can donate to your campaign.
Okay, so Carrie, right now, look here. I'm just put it like this because Adrian is still, moving some things around. So if anybody want to reach me directly. But that's how you. Yeah. I have something set up to where I can receive, campaign funds. This or this, but you'll have to reach me directly. You're more than welcome to reach me directly, and that is Adrian Devine Smith, who's running to be Fort Worth's next mayor. 972-987-7649. You can reach me directly, and we can. Discussion for how you want to support me, we can have that discussion. But I got everything. I already have everything in place. I have a social media imprint, but it doesn't have nothing to do with what I'm doing. You know, Carrie, we talked about that, Carrie, so, you know, I can say that. So we've talked about that. But they want to reach me directly, they can reach me directly. And my first political forum is coming up on Monday. It will be at Texas Westland. Let me correct it. The first mayoral forum is coming up Monday at Texas Westland, and it'll be at 6 p.m. promptly. They're going to start on time. So I don't know what mayoral candidates have agreed to be there, but Adrian Devine Smith will be there. So if you want to, you know, come out and if you haven't met me, hey, come out and meet me. Say hi. Get to see me. See me in the flesh. You know, you hear me on the phone, but I think seeing a person in person, you can get a feel of their. You can see their character. You can get a feel of them. You know, their energy, their character. You can see their character. You can. You know, I want people to, touch, you know, come out and see me. So, right now, that's all, Carrie. Like I say, just reach out to me, And I hope to see some people on this, on the, I got, you know, we have several more lined up that I've already committed myself to. But, you know, of course, everybody has their dates for when they're during their forms. And I thank you, Carrie, because, like I tell people all the time, you use your platform for, you have using your platform for change, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've only known you for since the last election. And
mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, man, nobody else doing it like you in Fort Worth. You know what I'm saying? Nobody else doing it like you. So they can reach me like that, Carrie, 972-987-7649. If you didn't hear it, you can text me. You can call me. I will answer my phone. I will answer a text, you know. Like I said, I'm more or less doing it. Carrie, you don't know this, Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
I go on record. Carrie, y'all like my, she like my unofficial campaign, man. She been really. Somebody said, who helping you? I said, man, really? I'm really just, I'm trying to answer all these political, you know, all these invitations as possible. But Carrie been helping me out a lot. She, you know, you give me advice. You know, you keep me on the narrow. You know, so I appreciate you, Carrie. I do appreciate you for everything.
No problem.
So that's Adrian.
Okay.
In a nutshell.
Y'all, that's Adrian Devine Smith running for mayor of Fort Worth. The election, y'all, is May 6, 2023. Listen, y'all, the listeners, thank y'all for listening. Next time, tell a friend, tell a neighbor to check out the show. Also, we want you all to follow us on Facebook. We have a Let's Talk Fort Worth Facebook page, and we want you to follow us there. Listen, if you got a product, a service, a campaign, or business, consider advertising right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth. Reach out to us at letstalkfortworth@aol.com. That's letstalkfortworth@aol.com. Listen, also, we are trying to do big things in 2023. We are asking you to follow the Let's Talk Facebook page. We want you to like it, make comments on it to help the algorithm. Algorithm. And so we want you to follow the page, like the page, and comment on the page. But also, we are saying if we get to 1,000 followers on that page, we are taking the show on the road. We will be doing shows in the community. We want to do live interviews. We want to come to you. We want to do breaking stories. But to do all of that, it takes your support. So listen, we want you to consider donating to the show. We have big plans for 2023. And listen, as Adrian said earlier, like the little boy, the Facebook sensation, listen, Linda, listen. Keep it locked right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. We are your eye downtown. We're keeping everything that's going on downtown on the dais on the show. We bringing it to you every single week, Friday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. Until next Friday, good night.